And a happy Friday the 21st, everybody. And yes, we're more than two-thirds of the way through February. Welcome back, Farm Talk Friday afternoon. Doug Lear, North Dakota Game and Fish Department Outreach Biologist. Happy Friday, Doug.
Hey, good afternoon, Mick. Good to be with you. Yeah, it is Friday. And I tell you what, I mean, and I say this with all sincerity, as a longtime friend and a longtime neighbor, and you've taught me so much in life and in weather and in ag. I'm truly a fan of your life and a fan of your career.
Gosh,
I think I finally came up with one when I was driving,
mm-hmm.
and that maybe I'll stump you on it.
Okay,
but. We're on the backside of February on a leap year,
mm-hmm.
and I know. I mean, you could explain. I don't doubt that you could explain why we have a leap day and a leap year, with the moon. Is it the moon and the daylight and the time and whatever? We have to add seconds to the clock. Or
believe it or not, the universe is an imperfect place.
Really?
Yes. And they discovered somewhere along after Julius Caesar said, "This is the calendar." It was not totally correct. So every 4 years, they got to add a day.
Every 4 years, they got to add a day.
Yeah, isn't that goofy?
And I think most people can understand that with suns and moons and days and time, that there's going to be, you know, maybe we'd refer to it as slippage. I don't know, or yeah. Dockage. Or,
yes.
Or something along that.
Yeah.
But why in February? Why couldn't we add a day in July, Mick? Why couldn't we do that?
Now, there is a brilliant idea.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
I mean, that's...
Let's put it on the referendum. Let's start a petition, signature. Let's get it on the next ballot.
I mean, and again, with all of your wisdom and knowledge, that is one thing that I thought, you know, there's a lot of, you can come up with a lot of scientific and chemistry and physics answers to a lot of questions. But the fact that somebody decided that we're going to add an extra day to February, I think all things considered, this has been a little better February than some mm-hmm. Februaries. But whoever decided that could probably, you know, deserve to be slapped or kicked or punched or something, Mick.
Maybe it was somebody in the Southern Hemisphere where it is there. No, I don't think so.
Oh. Yeah.
It was somebody way back in Europe, way back when, leap year.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, because they've got their reasons as to why. I think, like, daylight savings time starts here in just a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've got their reasons why they do it in March and again in October or whatever.
November now. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, politics has to play into everything. But I just cannot for the life of me figure out, if you wanted an extra day, why you'd pick. I mean, out of all, maybe January and February would probably be the two worst months to add. Like, if we had a January 32nd, that would be ugly.
Oh, man, that would be terrible, yeah. And the last couple of years, the middle of April or late April has been like January 94th.
Yeah, boy, ain't that the truth. Yeah. Now, Mick, I know that you've been everywhere and you're going everywhere. And I also know, from your life schedules that the North Dakota Winter Show is coming up.
Yeah.
And can you tease us with a little bit of like weather talk for the short term and the long term as to what is influencing our weather and what might be coming our way, Mick?
All right. Well, first of all, January was the warmest January on record in the world. And so...
Wow. That's saying something.
Yeah. We are poised for what could be a warm... You know, Mother Nature's got a way of balancing things out, but we could have a very warm 2020. Warm and dry... Probably not in the eastern Dakotas and Minnesota, but maybe in the western part of North and South Dakota and the Central Plains, we could have a very dry year. But you asked for the winter show. We have no weather worries here for 10 days to 2 weeks.
Wow.
I think maybe Thursday, the 5th, 4th or 5th, whatever day that is, of mm-hmm. March, towards the end of the first week of the winter show, we might have something coming through, but who knows? It's been, all of the storms have been passing to the south of us. Going to be another one this weekend, coast to coast, from Southern California all the way to Virginia and New England. And we've been in a snow drought here the last almost two months.
So, again, you know, like my mom taught me, you always want to say thank you. You know, there's never a wrong time to say thank you. So do we thank Canada? Do we thank the Pacific Ocean, the Gulf of Mexico? Who do we thank for having what, all in all, has been a much better February than what we last year? I mean, I think it felt like there were 72 days of February last year. It was cold. It was nasty.
I think, well, there are the forces at play upstairs are the polar vortex, which has tucked everything up towards the North Pole, all the bitterly cold air.
Oh.
And so the Arctic outbreaks we've had have only lasted a day or two.
Right.
And
right.
The other thing is the neutral El Nino, which has the warm pool of water in the central Pacific, South Pacific, as far away from land as possible, has no influence on our weather, except it has sent the jet stream steering all those storms in across the southern U.S.
Oh.
So we thank the polar vortex and the split flow jet stream.
So when something changes on the polar vortex or the Pacific Ocean or whatever, I mean, how fast does something like that change? Does it change over the course of weeks or months, or does it change in the snap of a finger?
Oh, in a snap of a geological moment, probably about 4 or 5 months.
That's a geological moment, about 4 or 5 months?
Actually, a geological moment probably about 150, 200 years. I don't know.
But, sure, I get what you're saying.
It takes a while.
Okay,
yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Because there's momentum. It's kind of like that baseball runner going around third base, heading for home. He can't make a 90-degree turn. He kind of goes way out of the baseline, and so it takes a while to shift momentum.
Yeah, well, I tell you one thing, you know, and again, everything is relative to where you're at today or for this weekend. But where we're at on the backside of February, Mick, for guys and gals wanting to get outdoors, this is probably, I mean, about as good as the weather conditions. Mm-hmm. You know, the ice and the snow and all that stuff is a whole different ballgame. But in terms of the weather conditions for the backside of February,
I love it.
It really is.
Yeah.
In fact, I mean, we always talk about safety, and it's fun safety talk when we can tell people in the line of all the safety concerns that you need to be aware of, that you also need to remember that you put on some sunscreen. I mean, that's a good reminder. It's a legitimate and a good reminder, but it's nice to be able to have to say that in February that you might want to put on some sunscreen when you head out, Mick.
Yeah, not because the sun is pounding directly down upon you closer than in the winter.
Right.
It's coming in at an angle, bouncing off the ice.
Ice and the snow. And yeah. I mean, I've seen some really bad pictures in the past. And, you know, it's one thing, and I'm not trying to minimize, you know, any kind of skin cancer or anything like that. I'm not trying to minimize sunburns. You know, it's one thing when dad goes, oh, man, I should have had some sunscreen on. Mm-hmm. But we get to times like this, and, you know, it's tougher for mom to say, yeah, take little Johnny ice fishing when it's 35 below and there's a blizzard and you're worried about getting stuck and frozen fingers and frostbite. It's a lot easier to convince mom to say, you know what, this weekend, yeah, you can take the kids and take them out ice fishing. If the fish aren't biting, you can clear some snow, maybe do some skating and do some sledding. But when those kids come home, and I've seen the picture, you can get just as nasty of a sunburn in February as you can get in July and August, and for the exact reasons that you said, Mick.
And I would assume the retina burn too. I mean, the sun, it's bad on your eyes. So sunglasses, sunscreen.
Yeah, and I hear a lot more reminders when I hear people that are like heading downhill skiing. Mm-hmm. You know, you'll hear about that, you know, with the sun bouncing off the snow back into their face, where you hear a lot of the experts in downhill skiing say, hey, make sure that you got the sunscreen, make sure you've got the sunglasses on to protect your eyes. And I just want to make sure that, you know, we always try to encourage people to get outdoors, but we also always try to encourage people, do things smart, you know, make some smart choices. And quite honestly, one of the smart things this weekend that you're going to do is you're going to bring along sunscreen, not just to sit it there, but to put it on and to put it on you and to put it on the kids. And, you know, I'd much rather have you put it on and not end up needing it than, you know, get to the end of the day and say, oh, man, we forgot to put the sunscreen on, Mick.
Yeah. Now, in the last 3 to 4 minutes, you have had lots of words of wisdom, but I think the one key word that I hooked on was safety. What's the quality of the ice out there? Are we pushing the safety envelope here as we get towards the end of Feb?
We have been, and we are. We had a couple of situations in Stutzman County just last weekend where people found themselves in a pretty dire situation. And it connects with me. I've heard some of the reports of some tragedy that have taken place in the ag community with farm accidents.
Grain bins. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. You know, and one of the things, you know, and that that always resonates with me is, you know, nobody goes into the grain bin thinking that the next thing you know, they're going to need emergency equipment and fire departments and they're going to be planning a funeral. Nobody goes out ice fishing and says, you know what, I think today's the day we're probably going to break through.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's just not at the top of your mind. And that's one of the things that, you know, if you've heard our conversations that you and I have had in the past, when we get down to brass tacks, when we get down to seriousness, One of the biggest hurdles, and farmers and ranchers and hunters and anglers are in the same ilk, cut from the same cloth, is one of the biggest education points that we can make is it can happen to you.
In a blink of an eye.
It can happen in the blink of an eye. And that's the thing, is we really struggle to try to educate and enforce upon people that it can happen to you. Mm-hmm. You may have gone out to that lake every year, every weekend this year, and you've never had a problem. And unfortunately, it might happen today, it might happen tomorrow. So we really want to try to get people to, you know, I don't want people to live in fear, but I want people to live intentional with thought and making the right choices. And that, again, that's probably one of the biggest things that we battle, is trying to get anglers to realize it can happen to you. We don't want it to happen to you. Yeah.
We've said it over and over and over again here on the radio, on, you know, ag radio.
Yeah.
That stay out of the grain bin. And yet we keep having tragedies. And you and I have been talking ice safety over and over and over again. I guess we can't say it enough.
Right. And that's the thing, is I guess we'll never apologize.
Yeah.
Because we don't want you and your family to be planning a funeral on Monday. We want them to have a safe weekend, Mick.
For sure. All righty. We've got the safety discussion out of the way. Is there any reason to pull the shotgun off the rack here this weekend?
We can find one, Mick. We can find one, my
friend.
All
righty. Season is on the way. Let's talk about it next here in the North Dakota Corn Council studio with Doug Lear, next on Farm Talk.